Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been moved from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." The word of God for the people of God. Mary Magdalene was one of the women who followed Jesus all the way from Galilee, their hometown, to the cross. And she went with him everywhere in between. She was among the women who accompanied and ministered to Jesus beginning in Galilee. She was with him from the beginning. These women were significantly involved in Jesus' ministry, and these women were significant to Jesus. Mary, along with Jesus' mother, also named Mary, and the other woman stood in the crowd on that horrible Friday, and they did not turn away from Jesus, even though they were increasingly pained as they watched his mock trial, as they watched his crucifixion, and as they watched him take his last breath. Among the pain that Mary experienced at the cross was this awareness that she and Jesus would never have a conversation again. She would never again hear Jesus laugh. She would never again hear him teach or preach. She would never again hear Jesus call her name. From Galilee all the way to the cross, all the places they had visited, how many times had Mary heard Jesus call her name? Mary did not find the time that she had between his death and the beginning of the Sabbath. That was not sufficient time to mourn him. The Sabbath began at 6 p.m. on Friday, and it continued until 6 p.m. on Saturday, so early Sunday morning. While it was still dark, while it was still cool, while there was still dew on the streets, early on Sunday morning, Mary, still weighed down by grief and disbelief, still in pain, she returned to the garden where Jesus' body had been entombed. She went to the tomb hoping that the opportunity to further mourn Jesus' death, that it would shift something in her, that it would move something in her, that it would begin to turn her toward, she didn't know what, but that it would begin to turn her. And right away, Mary noticed that the stone covering the entrance to the tomb had been moved away, and her pain became wider and it became deeper because she suspected Jesus' body had been taken. It seemed that the one she loved so much would even be denied the dignity of a peaceful death. So she ran and she found two of the others who had been following Jesus, and she told them, "They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." The two that she told began to run, and they ran to the garden, and they reached the tomb, and first one and then the other stooped low and looked in, and then first one and then the other went inside of the tomb, and they looked around. They reached a conclusion about what they saw. They didn't circle back to Mary. They took their conclusion and they returned to their homes. But Mary remained. She remained alone in the garden, standing and weeping at the entrance to the tomb. Mary couldn't return home because she could not turn away from and she could not leave the tomb. Her pain continued. Nothing had shifted in her. Nothing had shifted in her yet. She didn't rush herself through the pain and grief. She didn't force herself to return home before she was ready. She stooped down and she looked through the entrance of that tomb. And as she feared, she did not see Jesus' body. She was not comforted or relieved to see two angelic figures seated where Jesus' body had been laid on Friday. She continued weeping. I think she wept louder. And then the angels asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And so she spoke her pain, saying again, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then from behind her, Mary Magdalene heard someone again ask, "Why are you weeping?" Supposing it was the gardener who addressed her and earnestly hoping he knew where she would find Jesus' body, she turned, she looked at him and said, "Sir, tell me where I will find him, and I will go get his body, and I will return it to where it is supposed to be." Then Mary heard her name called. It was familiar, but how could it be? From Galilee all the way to the cross, Jesus had called her name so many times in just this way. But how could it be? After Jesus called her name, Mary's eyes were open and her heart was open wide. She recognized that it was in fact Jesus who addressed her, and she excitedly greeted him, My teacher, it is you." It wasn't as Mary supposed that Jesus' body had been taken away. God had raised Jesus from the dead. When Jesus called Mary's name, the painful emptiness that opened in her on that Friday was filled with joy and began to be filled with a new purpose. For you see, Jesus sent her home. Jesus changed her. Jesus commissioned her and entrusted her with the awesome responsibility to go tell my followers, "I have seen the Lord." Jesus charged this woman who found herself in the garden alone, unable to turn from the horror of death, that is the one who he sent to be his first witness of his resurrection. And Mary, that's not all I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that from this point forward, they can join me in calling God our Father. Beloved, this Easter Sunday, it is all right if you, like Mary Magdalene, are struggling to reach Easter faith. It is all right if you are struggling to receive the Easter faith that God holds out for us. It is all right if you, like Mary, are struggling to turn from death to life. We get so much of that. It is on a 24/7 loop in our lives. And I will say that we can, in fact, admire Mary for not retreating from the reality of the world. She was doing what she learned firsthand from Jesus: face death, face suffering, face pain head on. God does not ask us to get over or to turn away from the death or the grief or the pain that we witness. He does not ask us to get over the death or the grief or the pain that comes into our lives. Instead, God meets us right where we are, no matter how overwhelming, no matter how hopeless the situation may seem. And God is there reassuring us that we can face it because Jesus has not left us alone. It is all right if you, like Mary, because of pain, have hesitantly or awkwardly recognized Jesus standing before you. You may have even missed Jesus altogether. Rest assured, Jesus is not offended. Jesus will not miss you. Jesus will find you. He meets us in unexpected places. Before we know that we need it, God's grace finds us and makes us aware that God is available to us and God loves us. This is the truth of Easter. Jesus has been and will be fully present with us. As Marcus Borg wrote, the risen Christ journeys with us whether we know it or not. Nothing, not death, not angels, not pain, not disciples who outrun us and get the truth and don't tell us, nothing present or future or any power can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And there are no limits on the power of the risen Christ, Christ who is Lord. The first Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene went to the garden to mourn at Jesus' tomb, according to this account in John. She went believing that her story had concluded in tragedy on Friday. But Jesus met her outside the tomb and reassured her that her story continued. Her story continued and was a story of calling and commissioning. Our story continues this morning, Park Avenue. Jesus has called and will call each of us by name. Jesus has reunited and will keep reuniting us as God's children. And Jesus has commissioned and will commission us to tell our stories of encountering Jesus, the risen Lord. God bless us to receive an Easter faith. Amen.